Amen. Thanks, Al. Well, morning, everyone. Really special to feel like we're back together again, or sort of much of the church family is back together again. And I now just want to talk a bit more specifically and sort of follow on from Mark's great talk last week when he talked about the church generically. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the church specifically, us as Life Church. And Mark tried to answer three general questions. Those were, who are we? What's our mission? How do we work as church worldwide? And I want to sort of follow on from that and ask, try and simply answer those same questions for us as Life Church. And in many ways, the answers are the same. So it's not like it's like, it'd be a bit concerning if it was different, isn't it? But we're going to be building on that and talking a bit more specifically. And so these three questions, who are we? What's our mission? How do we work? And to answer the first question, who are we? I want to just encourage you to look around. Look around. Who is Life Church Manchester? Well, look around. This is who we are. We are Life Church Manchester. Sometimes people think church is a building or church is an organization. Church is people. We are the church. Of all shapes, sizes, ages, backgrounds, ethnicities, one of the real fabulous things about being part of a church family is that everyone's different. And you get to engage with people of all ages, all backgrounds. That's part of the richness of who it is. And we believe that's part of the richness we have to be Life Church Manchester. Life Church is you and Life Church is me. And the Bible tells us that we are his family, we are his body, we are his bride, we are his people. And as Mark talked about last week, he talked about how we are his people who are the ecclesia, the called out ones. Or if it's elsewhere, I've seen it written, the summoned ones, the gathering of the summoned. It's like those of us that have been called, we've been called to be different. We've been called to stand out. We are the summoned ones. Life Church, let's not just fit in. Let's not just try and mix in with the crowd. Let's be the light that he intends us to be. Let's stand out. Let's accept our summons and our calling. What a privilege to be called by him. And we often talk about Life Church being a family on mission. Right, we're not just an organization. We are a family. We're meant to relate as family. And we're family with a mission, with a purpose. And what's our mission? Well, Mark alluded to Matthew 28:18-20, and where Jesus gives the Great Commission. Except if you look on the slide, it did say Matthew 29, I think. Sorry, right, yeah. I wasn't going to until I saw you smiling, and then I couldn't quite resist it. So Matthew 29, really what you were going is like, you know, this is now the role we're playing, isn't it, in the next chapter, as it were, following on. But Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, it's like this is not just for us. If we just think that it's just about, oh, church is about gathering and maybe helping one another and supporting one another, there's more to it than just us supporting each other. There's a whole world to be reached. What we've caught, what we've learned, what we've experienced from Jesus, we're meant to pass on and share with others. When we prayed this morning, we prayed for everyone that was coming in. But we didn't just pray for everyone that was coming through the doors, because we knew that God's heart for what went on here wasn't just for those that are in the room today. Actually, the ripples should be felt way beyond here, right across our world. We're meant to be different. We're meant to make an impact. We're called to go and make disciples. And Jesus underlined that. And the last thing he said before he ascended to heaven, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Life Church, who are we meant to be? What are we meant to be? We're meant to be witnesses to the risen Lord Jesus. We're meant to, as Steph prophesied to us, be in tune with Jesus, following his lead as he's the conductor. And as we're in tune with him, we're meant to reflect him to the world around. As we're filled with his Spirit and led by his Spirit, we point people to Jesus. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, he has committed to us in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20. He says, he has committed to us, Life Church, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Life Church, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. But you know what? I believe that's God's heart and God's message to us. We are his ambassadors. He's committed to us, Life Church, this message of reconciliation. We are called to represent him. It's as if he's making his appeal through us. Young people, I love the fact that you're in here today with us. Because do you know what? You are such a key part of the Life Church family. We're never going to fulfill our mission properly if you're not activated and recognizing, yeah, we've got a massive part to play in this team. We're called to be ambassadors in your schools and your colleges, amongst your generation, amongst your friends. You're called to stand out. You're called to allow his light to shine. Your generation need to see something different, need to see the hope there is in Jesus, need to see that there is a light like no other in Jesus. So my mission and your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to, together, because this isn't meant to be done in isolation, it's meant to be done in partnership with one another. God puts us together for a reason. To be those ambassadors and witnesses to the people around us in the places that God has placed us. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the specific places we feel God's given us a mandate and responsibility for as Life Church Manchester in a minute. Let me just say something about an ambassador, though. Number one, first of all, an ambassador does not speak to please his audience, but he speaks to please the king who sent him. He doesn't speak to please his audience. He speaks to please the king who sent him. We live for the audience of one. He's our conductor. He's the one we're looking to please. And how are we going to really have an impact in this world? Not by thinking, what does the world want us to look like? But by thinking, what does he want us to look like? What does he want us to speak? What does he want us to say? Secondly, an ambassador doesn't speak on his own authority. He simply says what he's been commissioned to say. We have an authority from God. That's what Jesus said. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is not our authority. It's his authority. Life Church, we are under an authority and we're carrying an authority. And thirdly, an ambassador is actually much more than just a messenger. He's also a representative. And the honor and reputation of the country are in their hands. We are ambassadors. And the honor of Jesus, the honor of the kingdom of God, the reputation of the kingdom is in our hands. The reputation for who Jesus is in Sale and in Heald Green and in Eccles and in Stretford and in your workplace, it's in your hands. It's in my hands. And together, as the Life Church family, we're called to represent Christ where he's placed us. We often summarize our sort of overall mission in very simple terms, and it's probably true for just about every church across the land, really, to love God, to make disciples, and to serve our communities across the road and across the globe. That's to love God, to make disciples, and to serve our communities across the road and across the globe. And then, a bit more specifically, sometime before lockdown, quite a long time before lockdown, we set a specific goal. And we sort of decided, we felt like God wanted to call us to go for a bold vision that was in line with something that Tom alluded to in the What Are We Talking About? A prophetic word that was given by Mike Beaumont at the end of the 80s or the early 90s about God's hand on us to be a church of 1,000 people. And so we set out with a vision that we knew could not come about just by our own human efforts, but we were totally in the hands of God. We said our vision is to see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond by 2025. That's what we believe is in the heart of God. That's something that takes us way beyond what is, I believe, humanly possible. But it's the sort of big, scary goal that causes us to look to God and say, we'll only do this with your authority. We'll only do this with your anointing. We'll only manage this if you are at work. And how can we possibly embrace this mission and see this vision become a reality? Well, I guess that leads me to how do we work? Just a few simple things to say. Number one, by being filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, didn't he? He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. If we're going to do this work, it's under the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be the people God wants us to be in our own strength. This is a massive task he's given us, and there's only one way we can do it. It's in the Spirit. And so we're actually going to be setting out over the coming weeks and starting a new series where we look at the Holy Spirit and give ourselves to understanding who the Holy Spirit is and how we can live filled with the Spirit, how we can be led by the Spirit, how we can be the people of the Spirit that he needs us to be if we're going to make a difference where he's called us to be. I was just reading yesterday about Zerubbabel, who'd been given this huge task, massive task, to sort of oversee the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And it's all a bit overwhelming, like, oh, how do I do that? And someone gives him a personal sort of prophetic word, as it were, and simply says this: it's not by might, nor is it by power. It's by the Holy Spirit, says the Lord. And Life Church, how do we work? We must work in step with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. Secondly, we work by loving and supporting one another. Jesus said, a new command I give you. Love one another, how? As I have loved you. Whoa, how did Jesus love? By laying his life down. And then he says this: this is the way that everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. He's called us to love. We'll get nowhere without that love, the love of Jesus, at the center of everything we do. We're meant to work in partnership with one another. And working alongside one another has its challenges, doesn't it? It isn't always easy. You know, you look around and you see this funny mix of people from all different backgrounds and all different experiences and people that are wired differently and some people that want more of this and some people that want more of that and some people that think this, some people that think that. How does it all work? Well, it works through love, the sort of love of Jesus that we all need to carry in our hearts and live out with one another. We need one another, and we need to stay well connected with one another. And thirdly, we work this out by every single one of us playing their part, by everyone playing their part. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as some parts do their work. No, as each part does its work. Every single part. You matter. Whoever you are, however young or old you are, you're part of his body. And you've got a role to play. You've got a part to play. The truth is, I can't do this. And you can't do this. And this sort of vision that we talk about, it won't work just because the leadership team try and do something. It won't work because there's just a few keen people trying to do something. The only way it'll become a reality is with every single person playing their part. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Andy Stanley said this, said, your irresponsibility, your irresponsibility eventually becomes someone else's responsibility. Your irresponsibility eventually becomes someone else's responsibility. In other words, when I just leave my dirty dishes around the house, guess what? Someone else, who may not be that far away from here, has to go around and pick up those dirty dishes, put them in the dishwasher. If I put some washing into the washing machine and then just leave it there and forget about it and don't put it out, guess what? Someone else has to get it out, take it out before they can put another bunch of washing in. Your responsibility, your irresponsibility eventually becomes someone else's responsibility. We've got responsibility for one another. We can end up allowing too much weight to fall on little parts of the body because we're not all taking our responsibility. And the fourth thing, very specific to us, that I want to say is it's by engaging in locations. We feel God's given us a particular responsibility for specific communities and specific locations. We're Life Church Manchester as a whole. But in particular, we believe God's given us a mandate to take responsibility for Healed Green. God's given us a mandate to take responsibility for Eccles. God's given us a mandate to take responsibility for Stretford. God's given us a mandate to take responsibility for Sale. Not that we should just have meetings and gatherings in those places. No, no, no. Church is meant to be far more than that. Actually, that those places should be different because of the expression of who we are, because God's people, we are coming together as a family on mission to serve in that community and represent Jesus in that community and point people to Jesus. My prayer is that over these next coming couple of years, we will, in each of those locations, see all sorts of people coming to know Jesus, that we'll each step forward and say, well, whichever location I'm best to serve in and play my part, and I'm going to connect, be part of that family in that location, and I'm going to serve and help to bring the light of Jesus in those contexts. We're trying to work together as a family to fulfill the mission of representing Jesus and see him transforming lives and communities, particularly in those contexts, but also beyond. And of course, the other thing that's happened over lockdown is we've begun to connect with people online. And we realized, you know what? There's people that may not come through any of our doors. There's people that we may not end up meeting physically initially, but that we've got an opportunity to reach out to and engage with. And we're trying to build a community online. And so, as Al mentioned, from this Sunday night, there will be our online services, our live stream happening at 8 o'clock. And I really hope that some of us will go, do you know what? We're going to just connect into that and be part of community to help others become part of community. Because God wants us to reach more and more people in all sorts of ways and in all sorts of contexts. You've heard me say before, church is not just a service to attend, but a family to belong to and a team to play a part in. Life Church, I want to encourage you not to sell yourself short or our world short by just attending or even watching a service. But let's each and every one of us be ready to embrace the joys and challenges of relational life, relational family life. And let's each and every one of us embrace the joy and challenge of playing our part in the mission. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would like to come back up. And as they do, I'm going to ask if you're able, if you'd like to stand with me. And the truth is that this has been a strange season for all of us. And the enemy would love to use this season to isolate people, to cause people to settle back and to say, I'm just going to live for myself. I'm just going to stay focused and just sort of live in my own little surroundings. He wants to cut us off from one another. He wants to lower our sights. He wants to stop us seeing how together we can change the world. And this morning, I believe that God wants to come cut totally across all those lies of the enemy. And in a sense, there's an opportunity for each and every one of us just to offer ourselves back to Him. To not allow fear to rule, but faith to rule. To make a commitment that we will give ourselves into the family of God that God has placed us in, and that we will offer ourselves to serve His purposes. And as we do that, to reach out, not to do that in our strength, but to look for that anointing and fresh anointing and authority to enable us to really fulfill the mission He has for us.